all the major news stories made simple and easy for your listening pleasure. We'll break it down for you in keywords for the segment. We're joined by Adam. Good morning.
Good morning, Lena.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
You sound good. But
I'm always good.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I really don't like this mic in front of us.
Me too. I realize that. And I've committed to the mic's location, and it's a little too far, but I'll work on it for tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just right in the line of sight. And
I'm trying to, how about that?
Yeah, okay.
Sit upright.
It worked a little bit. But the bottom half of your face is covered by a mask anyway, so yeah. This is a moot point.
No, I mean, a COVID-induced problem for us, frankly speaking, right? Yeah. This distance. You know that Yerika and I have never worked together in the same studio ever.
Really?
Ever.
Wow.
It throws me off.
Hopefully that will be over.
Yeah. I guess hopes are slightly higher that perhaps the worst of the pandemic is behind us, according to health experts in the country. Yeah. We'll take a look at why the wording of that is so careful, though, today. Let's jump into keyword news with our COVID-19 coverage. As always, this is our first pick of the day.
Paxlovid.
All right, so Korea is set to receive the first batch of COVID-19 pills, Paxlovid being one of them. It will be administered from tomorrow. So it's on schedule, according to government's announcement. What should we know?
Yeah, so the flight is incoming, and it will be coming later today. And it's the first set of 21,000 courses that's arriving today for Pfizer's Paxlovid. It'll come in the coming hours. Some say about noon is the estimated time of arrival.
Does that not throw you off? 21,000 courses? So you mean the sets that each person has to take, right?
Right, right.
Courses?
They are pills, so they're not shots. They're not really classified as doses, if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah. Another 10,000 courses are scheduled to be delivered by the end of this month as well. Now, the oral treatment will be administered to mild to moderate COVID-19 cases at high risk of developing severe infections, not to asymptomatic patients, just to take note of that. Treatment will start within 5 days of onset of symptoms.
Right.
Now, the first pills will go to people over 64 or with weak immune systems who are receiving treatment at home or at residential treatment centres. Patients receiving at-home care will consult with their doctors remotely and will get the pills either through their local government or through a pharmacy. Patients at residential treatment centres will be administered the pills by the medical staff, and they will also check for any abnormal symptoms every day and request in-person consultations if necessary. Now, the government stressed the need for caution, though, when administering Pfizer's oral treatment. There are a number of drugs, about a couple dozen, that Paxlovid cannot be combined with, and it's best to consult your doctor and see if you are able to take them, if you are on any other medication, that is.
All right. There's also additional vaccines to be made available in the country. Korea has also authorized the use of Novavax's COVID-19 vaccine. So what's the latest?
Yeah, so the Novavax's vaccine will become the fifth COVID-19 vaccine to get approval for use here in Korea. And SK Bioscience said it will produce the Novavax shot, so it will be locally, domestically produced as well. Watchers say there are fewer concerns about side effects when it comes to Novavax's vaccine. Storage, for one, is relatively easy compared to these mRNA vaccines, such as Pfizer and AstraZeneca. Now, the vaccine has shown to be around 90% effective in clinical trials, and Korea has secured 40 million doses of the vaccine, and authorities are planning to offer them to those who are yet to be vaccinated, possibly starting next month.
Although locally there are hopes of leaving the worst of the pandemic behind, it seems that the global numbers are still alarming.
Yes.
Let's turn our attention to that. This is our second keyword of the day.
Global surge continues.
So COVID infections continue to spread worldwide at a fast pace with over 15 million cases in just a week. That's a record breaker. What's the latest?
Yeah, so according to the WHO update, that is a weekly record. It's also a jump of 55% from the previous week. But the death count has remained relatively stable, with 43,000 being reported, though it is a 3% rise on week. Now, all regions showed increased tallies except for Africa, which actually saw an 11% drop. Now, the WHO said Omicron continues to cause concern and is now crowding out the previously dominant Delta variant. It said Omicron accounts for nearly 59% of all sequences shared with the largest publicly available global database of viruses. And what the WHO is basically saying is that this 15 million is an underestimate, so it could actually be more. Now, scientists in Britain and the United States say there are early signs the crush of Omicron may have peaked, but they are still uncertain how the next phase of the pandemic might unfold. The WHO noted the Americas reported the highest ever number of cases this week, with a 78% spike, mainly driven by the US. The number of new cases in Europe, also a hotspot, rose by 31%, while there was a 10% drop in deaths. Now, the biggest jump in COVID infections was noted in Southeast Asia, where cases increased by more than 400%, with the largest numbers reported in India.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. But of course, we'll pick up right where we leave off tomorrow as well. On to our third keyword of the day.
Meeting with religious leaders.
President Moon Jae-in has held a luncheon meeting at Cheongwade with the leaders of the country's major religions. Do we know what was discussed?
Yeah, so Moon voiced his concerns about the spread of the Omicron variant. So the pandemic did take up most of the agenda for the meeting. And he asked for the leaders' continued assistance in easing public fears about COVID vaccines and other antivirus measures as well. And he also, during the meeting, urged the public to get their third shot, the booster shot, too. Now, Moon also discussed his concerns about the political atmosphere recently, and he noted that the final task for the nation's democracy is to overcome hostility and division and move toward unity and reconciliation. And he asked the religious leaders to lead the nation toward unity. And he also pointed out that that is the job of politicians, including himself. But he admitted that role was not completely fulfilled. The president also requested their leadership in encouraging people's participation in reaching carbon neutrality.
On to our fourth keyword of the day.
Hypersonic missile.
North Korea says, according to them at least, it has successfully conducted what it called the final test firing of a new hypersonic missile able to evade being monitored, essentially. What's the latest?
Yeah, so it is a bit concerning because of the technology and the capabilities involved in this so-called hypersonic missile. State media said the test was successful under the watch of its leader, Kim Jong-un. Now, the KCNA said the missile fired on Tuesday, quote, precisely hit a target some 1,000 kilometers away. It also referred to the latest test fire as the ultimate test launch and said that it confirmed the weapon's outstanding maneuverability. This shows signs that such missiles could soon be ready to be deployed in North Korea. Now, the KCNA also said that Kim stressed the regime should further accelerate efforts to steadily build up the country's strategic military power. Now, hypersonic missiles, why are they dangerous? Well, for several reasons. Unlike ballistic missiles, which can be predictable in their trajectory, hypersonic weapons can traverse laterally close to the Earth's surface and hit a target in a much shorter flight time. They can also achieve more than five times the speed of sound, that is more than 6,000 kilometers per hour, and are easier to maneuver as well.
Right.
And all these features make them harder to track as well as intercept.
All right. So, of course, we have to take a look at the global community's reactions. There are sanctions in place to stop North Korea from running such missile tests. So what are the reactions so far?
That's right. The US, for one, has imposed sanctions on half a dozen North Koreans it alleges are responsible for securing goods for Pyongyang's weapons of mass destruction and ballistic missile programs. The Treasury Department said the move was to target the North's continued use of overseas representatives to illegally procure goods for weapons. Now, the Treasury Department sanctioned five North Korean individuals, one based in Russia and four in China. The State Department was designating an additional North Korean individual who is also based in Russia. Now, the sanctions block the individuals from engaging in U.S. business transactions and impound any assets that they might have in the country. Anyone who engages in transactions with them, including foreign financial institutions, could also open themselves up to sanctions as well. Other reactions, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said he was very concerned by the latest launch. And the EU also urged Pyongyang to, quote, respond constructively to US readiness for diplomacy. But of course, in light of all these weapons testings and the fact that North Korea wants to bolster its military capabilities, they're not really open to dialogue yet.
And at the recent UNSC meeting, it seems that once again, China and Russia was not on the same page. Right. It does echo a really similar pattern, but let's wait and see if this prompts North Korea to come back to the dialogue somehow. Isn't that the final goal of this anyhow?
It is the goal, but it looks unlikely for the time being anyway, but we hope it will happen soon.
All right, on to our fifth keyword of the day.
Record trading costs.
So inflation has been a major global concern, and it is also affecting Korea's imports and exports, making them more expensive, for example. Run us through the latest figures.
Yeah, so compared with the year earlier, the country's import prices jumped nearly 30% in December, the 10th consecutive increase. The prices also gained just over 17.5% on year in 2021. But import prices fell for the second straight month in December from a month earlier. So on month, it has actually fallen. That's due to falling prices of oil and other raw materials. The December export prices surged 23.5% compared with the year earlier. That's the 11th straight month of increase. For 2021 as a whole, the export prices also gained 14.3% on year. But on month, export prices also fell by 1%. That's again due to declines in prices of coal, oil and chemical products.
All right. And moving on to our final piece of headline today. This is our sixth keyword of the day.
Money supply.
The way you say that. Korea's money supply is said to have expanded as savings increase. So what's the latest?
Yeah, central bank data shows the country's money supply kept a double-digit growth last November. The M2, or broad money as it's more commonly known, came to 3,589.1 trillion won for the month, up nearly 13% from a year earlier. It's also just over 1% more from a month before. Now, M2 includes not only cash and checking deposits, but also near liquid assets like money market accounts and savings. Mm-hmm. The Bank of Korea attributed the rise to not only to pandemic relief funds being paid out, but also to sales of assets like stocks. Mm-hmm. And it also stemmed in part from increased deposits at financial institutions and banks that's been bolstered by rising interest rates. Now, the M1, or narrow money, as it's known, advanced 17.6% on year in November. M1 refers to currency in circulation, demand deposit, and transferable savings deposit equivalent to cash. Now, you all might be wondering, why is money supply important? Well, it kind of, not so much now, but it used to be kind of a good indicator of where the economy is heading in the in the near future. And a lot of central banks, including the US Fed, use this data to kind of review their monetary policy and construct them.
I like how you highlighted as of late, but normally that's why it's an important indicator.
Yeah, the relationship between money supply and economy growth, or the way the economy is working or trending, the two haven't really been going side by side recently. There's been a lot of variables, and the pandemic being one of them as well. So,
and kind of the fact that we don't have enough data on such pandemic, for example, for us to predict based on the same sort of measuring sticks.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Aaron, for today's coverage.
You're welcome.
I feel informed. Well informed.
Good.
I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.